So Romans chapter 8, verse 26. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God. And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. And those he predestined, he also called. Those he called, he also justified. Those he justified, he also glorified. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thanks very much, Anthony. And good morning. Let me add my welcome to Adams. It's great to see you here this morning. And as we have a look and have a think about these words together, let me lead us in a prayer. Isaiah 40 says, "Comfort, comfort my people, says your God." Our Heavenly Father, we pray that you would indeed comfort us, comfort your people, comfort us now, comfort us as we look at your word, as we think of the Lord Jesus. We pray we would love him, be comforted by him, and be able to live for him and for your glory. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Do you remember, I think it was about 10 years ago now, going to a cinema to watch a 3D film? It was, I think there might be a slide coming up, a sort of image that we might remember, with those funny glasses on, and we'd watch a 3D film. You'd need these special glasses. Here's a pair of them. You'd put them on, and you'd watch the film. And with the glasses on, everything looked crisp, clear. You could see through things in sort of high definition. The 3D worked. It was like the characters and creatures were sort of jumping out of the screen at you while you were wearing your 3D glasses. But if you took the glasses off, the picture was very, very different. It was completely blurry. It was hard to make out what was going on. The characters were hard to see, hard to figure out what was happening. It was unclear. You couldn't see properly without the 3D glasses on. And doesn't life feel a little bit like not wearing these spectacles, these glasses sometimes? Life can also feel blurry, unclear. We struggle to make sense of what is going on. We don't understand what's happening in the world. Why Ukraine? Why 6 years for Nazanin Zaghari Ratcliffe? Why COVID? Why food banks? Why the increased cost of living? And then we think about our own lives as well. We don't understand what's going on. Why do we keep on suffering? Why do those we love keep on suffering? And so, sort of the question behind the question is a question to God. And the question is, why? Why God? And hopefully you've got Romans chapter 8 open before you. Because as we have it open, it's like God is giving us a pair of spectacles. He's giving us the specs of Scripture, and he's given them to us to help us see clearly, to help us see what we can't see on our own without them. We've just read in Romans 8 some wonderful truths, two huge truths that we wouldn't see without it. We wouldn't see without the specs of Scripture on. Last week, if you were here, we were considering, thinking about how we wait in suffering for our future hope, our glory to come. And then today, the passage develops, and we're thinking about the help that we're given to wait, the help we're given. Now, this sermon, it won't give you a list of things to do today. But the prayer has been this week that this sermon, as we look at this section of Romans 8, will help us see. Will help us see. And as we see, the prayer has also been, God willing, that we'll be comforted, that we'll receive comfort today. You see, God wants to comfort us. He wants to comfort you and me today. So let's put on those specks of Scripture. Let's see. And firstly, we're going to see that the Holy Spirit is helping us right now. Verse 26. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. God, the Holy Spirit, is helping you in your weakness. And doesn't that sound great? We know we're weak. We felt it already this morning. We're creatures, not the Creator. We're limited. We're vulnerable. We're finite. We know we live in a broken world as well. And we've heard lots about that last week. And so now to hear that in the broken world, in our brokenness, the Holy Spirit is helping us now, well, it sounds wonderful, doesn't it? It's the sort of thing you might say to a friend going through a tough time. You might say, it's okay, the Holy Spirit is helping you in your weakness. But surely the question that then comes right back at you is, how? How on earth is the Holy Spirit helping me? And that is where we need the specks of Scripture to help us see. I had a phone call from a friend of mine, a good friend, this week. He spoke to me in a very difficult financial situation that he's just found himself in. He's got to attend a hearing very soon about his finances with the government. And as he told me the situation, as he was holding back the tears, he said to me, Johnny, I don't know what to say. I don't know what to do. I don't know what to say to my family. And then he said, but ultimately, I don't know what to pray. I don't know what to pray. It comes right from verse 26, doesn't it? We do not know what we ought to pray for. Have you ever said that? Have you ever heard someone say that to you? Because if we're honest, sometimes we don't know what to pray. But wonderfully, the Holy Spirit helps us. How? Verse 26, the Spirit himself intercedes or prays for us through wordless groans. If you are a believer here this morning, it is astonishing. The Holy Spirit is living in you right now. And right now, the Holy Spirit is praying for you on your behalf. You see, we thought last week about us groaning inwardly. Well, now we hear the Holy Spirit is groaning outwardly to the Father on your behalf, for you. And before we kind of skip over it, let's just pause for a moment and just think, how comforting is that? Do we feel comforted by that news that the Spirit, God, is praying for you? God, the Spirit is praying for us, even when our lips are silent. If you're not praying, or you're struggling to pray, or you've forgotten to pray, even then, God, the Holy Spirit, is praying for you. It's God, the Holy Spirit, is praying to God, the Father. And are those not the prayers we want, the prayers of God himself? And because, verse 27, he, that's God the Father, who searches our hearts, knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God. See, God the Father and God the Holy Spirit are in a perfect, loving relationship in the Trinity. So the Spirit's prayers will always be answered by the Father because they're always in line with what the Father wants. That's his will. And therefore, the Father will always answer the Spirit's prayers. Will always answer the Spirit's prayers on our behalf or for us. Now, the slight issue is, we don't know what God's will is, do we? We get a glimpse of it. We prayed at the Lord's Prayer a few moments ago. We get a glimpse of it there. But we don't know what is best for us. So I might pray, Lord, I am in pain. Please take it away. I'm sure many of us have prayed that along with me. But the Holy Spirit, he knows what's best for us. So he might pray something different. He might pray, Father, I know Johnny is suffering, but please help him be patient in it. Please help him and use this to make him more like Jesus. So it might be something different. The Holy Spirit right now helps us. How? He prays for us. What comfort. What comfort. Now, this doesn't mean that because the Holy Spirit is praying for me, that we stop praying. Not at all, just the opposite. It encourages us to keep praying, to pray knowing that the Holy Spirit is praying with us, for us. It's like we're running a race together, both running along. We're both praying. And so in the pain or the hardship you might be feeling today, please know that the Holy Spirit is praying for you. He's praying right now for you. You're not on your own. Not on your own in your prayers. You have God himself joining in with you, praying to God the Father perfectly right now for you. What comfort. And wonderfully, when we stop praying, we still know the Holy Spirit is praying for us. If we stop running, he keeps going. He keeps praying. And if that is you now, if suffering is just too much at the moment, you feel you can't pray or you just don't know what to pray, remember that the Holy Spirit is praying for you right now. What comfort. You see, firstly, with these specks of scripture on, we see that the Holy Spirit is helping us, helping you right now, praying for us. But also with those specks of scripture on, we see what God is doing. Secondly, we see that God is working for our eternal good. Now, I'd love to see a show of hands to this question. Who is here that someone, that when you buy a new book, you've just got to flick to that last page to find out how it's going to end? There's a lot of shake of heads here. Any hands up? Yes, we've got a few hands up front row. Anyone else brave enough to say amongst the shakes of the head? You see, some of us, you've just got to know how the story ends. You've got to know how it finishes. Because on the one hand, we read this line from the final page of a book. For never was a story of more woe than this of Juliet and her Romeo. Not a happy ending. Some endings are better, though. The scar had not pained Harry for 19 years. All was well. How a story ends, it's important. But how about the story of our own lives? Isn't that a book we'd love to read the last page of? In fact, I think it's not just an ending we'd like to know, but the last page of our own story is an ending we need to know. So with the specks of scripture on again, verse 28 to 30, they tell us the story of our life and that it ends well. Because God is working for our eternal good. Verse 28, and we know in all things God works for the good of those who love him. If you're a believer, God is working for your good. And not just in some of things that you might go through, but in all things. Yes, even in those hard things, the hardest of things. God is good. He is working for our ultimate good, our eternal good. Now, we might get a taste of that goodness beforehand in this life now, but we might not. It might not be promised. Health and wealth are not promised now. Do you remember Joseph? Back in Genesis chapter 50, he said, "You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good, the saving of many lives." Joseph saw that God worked in all things, even the hard things, for his good. And that is his ultimate good, the saving of many lives. Remember Jesus on the cross, what looked like harm. Well, that was for our ultimate good, the saving of our life. Now, back to Romans 8 and verse 28. It is a hard verse, isn't it? A hard verse. It's a verse to weep through with someone we love. We don't know why. Why is God using the pain and suffering I'm going through for my good, my ultimate good? We don't know all the answers. This verse doesn't give us all the answers. But we're comforted. We know that there is a purpose to it. In the tears, we can be comforted. Picture the one-year-old child. They're on their mother's lap. It's injection day, vaccination day, in the nurse's room in the GP surgery. They sit there, and then the nurse comes in with that huge injection, and the child cries and cries. But the mother clings, holds the little one tight, cares for them. The child doesn't know why they're experiencing this pain, but the mother does. The mother knows that there is a good for it. There is an ultimate good to having this injection that the child has no idea about. And that is why the end of our story really matters. We need to know in the pain that it does end well. We need to know that God is working for our ultimate, our eternal good. And that, once we know that, that brings comfort. And your story ending well, it's painted for us vividly in this sort of chain of events in verses 29 and 30. It starts off that God foreknew you, or he foreloved you before the creation of the world. And then God predestined you. He planned that you'd be conformed to the image of his son. That is, God's eternal good for you is that you would become like Jesus. And what does becoming like Jesus look like? Well, in a word, it's perfect. If you want to see more, understand more of what becoming like Jesus might look like, well, the Gospels are a great place to turn to see what Jesus is like. And if you're here and you're sort of looking into Christian things, why not pick one up? It's on the table over there. And you can find a little bit more of what Jesus is like, and then what we will be made to be like. God is making believers like Jesus. God is using even the suffering you're in to do this. And that is how our story ends. That is our ultimate good, to be like Jesus. What comfort. And being like Jesus, it's an eternal thing. But it's something that also starts now. You see, God is making you ready for eternity, ready to be like Jesus by now making us more and more like Jesus too. So he's at work now, but ultimately he will make us like Jesus in eternity.
But back to our chain of events. We had God predestining us, and next God called you in history, a call that we just couldn't reject. And then God justified you. Chapter 8, verse 1, no condemnation. And this wonderful chain of events is all heading to a beautiful climax, to the end of our story. God glorified you. And God's so certain about it that it's put in the past, glorified. It's already done. We will be with Jesus in glory, like Jesus, and with new bodies in a new world, a world without suffering, pain, or tears, enjoying God and his glory forever. And that is where everything is heading. That is how the story ends. It ends well. We can sing, it is well with my soul, because it ends well. God is making you glorious, making you like Jesus. God is working now for your eternal good. What comfort. Suffering, it does hurt now, but it isn't how the story ends. Our story ends well. It ends in glory. It ends in our eternal good. What comfort. And so this morning, let's spend a moment just to know, to experience a little of that comfort now. Know the comfort that you can have in your suffering now. A comfort in suffering that will be to come. And let's share that comfort with those that really need to hear it here, maybe after coffee, sharing the comfort for those that really need it. So with these specks of scripture on, we've seen two wonderful truths this morning that both bring comfort. We're comforted in our pain that the Holy Spirit is helping us. He's praying for us now. And we're comforted that in the pain, God is working for our good, for our ultimate, for our eternal good, making us like Jesus. And that is how the story ends. What comfort. Let me lead us in a prayer. Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Our Heavenly Father, we pray that you would take your word, your spirit would be at work and would comfort us now. Father, we pray will we be comforted knowing that the Spirit is at work helping us, praying for us, praying to the Father right now. And Father, in however tough life is now, we pray that we'd know that you're at work for our ultimate good. Thank you, you're making us like Jesus, and we long for the day that you return, that we will be with you in glory. And in the midst, in the moment we wait, we pray that you would comfort us, and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.